CDF Service. This document will serve to give a brief introduction on the important features and functions of your new body and provide answers to some of the most common questions recruits have about their new body. Not just a new body, a better body. You've surely noticed the green skin tone of your new body. This isn't merely cosmetic. Your new skin, Chloroderm, trademark, incorporates chlorophyll to provide your body with an extra source of energy and to optimize your body's use of both oxygen and carbon dioxide. The result? You'll feel fresher, longer, and better able to perform your duties as a CDF service person. This is only the beginning of the improvements you'll find in your body. Here are some others. Your blood tissue has been replaced by Smart Blood, trademark, a revolutionary system that increases oxygen-carrying capacity fourfold while it guards your body against disease, toxins, and death from blood tissue loss. Our patented Cat's Eye, trademark, technology gives you sight you have to see to believe. Increased rod and cone counts give you better imaging resolution than can be achieved in most naturally evolved systems, while specially designed light amplifiers allow you to see clearly in extreme low-light situations. Our Uncommon Sense trademark suite of sense enhancements allow you to touch, smell, hear, and taste like you never have before, as our expanded nerve placement and optimized connections expand your perceptual ranges in all sense categories. You'll feel the difference from the first day. How strong do you want to be? With Hard Arm, trademark, technologies that boost natural muscle strength and reaction time, you'll be stronger and faster than you ever dreamed possible. So strong and fast, in fact, that by law, Colonial Genetics can't sell this technology on the consumer market. That's a real leg up for you recruits. Never be unconnected again. You'll never lose your Brain Pal trademark computer because it resides in your own brain. Our proprietary assistive adaptive interface works with you so you can access your Brain Pal your way. Your Brain Pal also serves to coordinate non-organic technologies in your new body, such as Smart Blood. CDF service people swear by this amazing piece of technology, and so will you. Building a better you. You'll no doubt be amazed at how much your new body can do, but have you wondered how it was designed? You may be interested to know that your body is just the latest series in a line of advanced improved bodies designed by Colonial Genetics. Through proprietary technology, we adapt both genetic information from other species and the latest in miniaturized robotic technologies to improve your new body. It's hard work, but you'll be glad we made the effort. From our first improvements nearly two centuries ago, we've progressively built on our work. To introduce changes and improvements, we rely first on advanced computer modeling techniques to simulate the effects of each proposed improvement on the entire body system. The improvements that make it through this process are then tested on biological models. Then and only then are improvements incorporated into the final body design, integrated with the starter DNA you provide. Rest assured that each body improvement is safe and tested and designed to make a better you. Common questions about your new body. 1. Does my new body have a brand name? Yes, your new body is known as the Defender Series 12 Hercules model. Technically, it's known as CG/CDF Model 12 Revision 1.2.11. This body model is for use only by the Colonial Defense Forces. Additionally, each body has its own model number for maintenance purposes. You can access your own number through your Brain Pal. Don't worry, you can still use your given name for everyday purposes. 2. Does my new body age? The Defender Series body is designed to provide the CDF with optimum performance its entire operating life. To do this, advanced regenerative techniques are employed at the genetic level to reduce natural entropic tendencies. With a basic maintenance regimen, your new body will remain in top condition as long as you operate it. You'll also find that injuries and disabilities are corrected quickly, so you can be up and running again in no time flat. 3. can I pass these amazing improvements to my children? No. Your body and its biological and technological systems are patented by colonial genetics and may not be passed on without permission. Also, due to the extensive nature of Defender series improvements, its DNA is no longer genetically compatible with unmodified humans, and lab tests indicate that Defender series mating creates incompatibilities lethal to the embryo in every case. Additionally, the CDF has determined that the ability to transmit genetic information is non-essential to its service people's mission. Therefore, each Defender model ships sterile, although other related functionality remains intact. 4. I'm worried about the theological implications of this new body. What should I do? While neither Colonial Genetics nor the CDF maintains an official position on the theological or psychological ramifications of the transfer of consciousness from one body to another, we understand that many recruits may have questions or concerns. Each recruit transport comes equipped with clergy representing most of Earth's major religions and an additional complement of psychological therapists. We encourage you to seek them out and discuss your questions with them. 5. How long will I stay in my new body? Defender series bodies are designed for CDF use. So long as you stay in the CDF, you will be able to use and enjoy the technological and biological advancements of this new body. When you leave the CDF, you will be provided with a new, unaltered human body based on your own original DNA. From all of us here at Colonial Genetics, congratulations on your new body. We know it will serve you well through your service in the Colonial Defense Force. Thanks for your service to the colonies, and enjoy your new body. I set the PDA down, went over to the stateroom sink, and looked into the mirror at my new face. It was impossible to ignore the eyes. My old body had brown eyes, muddy brown, but with interesting flecks of gold. Kathy used to tell me that she had read that flecks of color in the iris were nothing more than additional fatty tissue. So I had fat eyes. If those eyes were fat, these were positively obese. They were gold from the pupil outwards toward the rim, where they shaded towards green. The rim of the iris was a deep emerald. Spikes of that color stabbed towards the pupils. The pupils themselves were slitted, drawn tight by the light directly above the mirror. I turned off that light and then turned the primary light off as well. The only light in the room was a small LED on the PDA. My old eyes would have never been able to see off of that. My new eyes took only a moment to adjust. The room was undeniably dim, but I could make out every object clearly. I went back to the mirror and looked in. My eyes were dilated, like someone with a belladonna overdose. I flicked the sink light back on and watched my pupils constrict with impressive speed. I took off my clothes and took the first real look at my new body. My earlier impression of my form turned out to be correct. For lack of a better term, I was totally buffed out. I ran my hand down my chest and washboard stomach. I had never been this athletically fit in my life. I had no idea how they managed to make the new me this fit. I wondered how long it would take me to get into the flabby shape I had been in during my real 20s. Then I wondered, given the amount of fiddling they had done with this body's DNA, if it was even possible for it to become flabby. I hoped not. I liked the new me. Oh, and I was entirely hairless from the eyelashes down. I mean hairless. Not a spare hair anywhere. Arms bare, legs bare, back bare. Not that it had never not been bare before. Private bits bare. I rubbed my chin to feel if there was a hint of stubble there. Smooth as a baby's bottom. Or my bottom now. I looked down at my package. To be honest, without hair, it looked a little forlorn. The hair on my head was full but nondescript brown. That much hadn't changed from my previous incarnation. I held my hand in front of my face to get a look at the skin tone. It was a shade of green that was light but not glaring, which was good. I don't think I could have handled being chartreuse. My skin was an even tone across my body, although my nipples and the tip of my penis were slightly darker. Basically, I seemed to have the same color contrast as before, just in a different hue. One thing I did notice, however, my veins were more noticeable and grayish. I suspect that whatever color Smart Blood trademark was, whatever it really was, it wasn't blood red. I dressed myself again. My PDA beeped at me. I picked it up. There was a message waiting. "You now have access to your Brain Pal trademark computer system," it read. "Would you like to activate it at this time?" There were buttons on the screen for yes and no. I picked yes. Suddenly, a deep, rich, soothing voice out of nowhere. I near jumped out of my new green skin.
"Hello," it said. "You are interfacing with your Brain Pal trademark internal computer with the patented assistive adaptive interface. Do not be alarmed. Thanks to the Brain Pal integration, the voice you are now hearing is being generated directly to the hearing centers of your brain."
Great, I thought. There's another voice in my head now.
"After this brief introductory session, you may turn off the voice at any time. We'll begin with some options you can choose by answering yes or no. At this point, your Brain Pal would like you to say yes and no when directed, so that it may learn to recognize this response. So, when you are ready, please say the word yes. You may say it at any time."
The voice stopped. I hesitated, a little bit dazed.
"Please say yes now," the voice repeated.
Yes, I said, a little jumpy.
"Thank you for saying yes. Now, please say no."
"No," I said, and for a moment wondered if the Brain Pal would think I was saying no to its request, get huffy, and fry my brain in its own juices.
"Thank you for saying no," the voice said, revealing itself to be something of a literalist. "As you progress together, you will learn in time that you will not need to verbalize these commands in order for your Brain Pal to respond to them. However, in the short term, you will probably wish to verbalize while you become comfortable communicating with your Brain Pal. At this time, you have the option of continuing with audio or switching to a text interface. Would you prefer to switch now to a text interface?"
"God, yes," I said. "We will now proceed with a text interface." A line of text read, floating directly in my line of sight. The text was perfectly contrasted against what I was staring at. I moved my head and the text stayed dead center. The contrast changed to stay perfectly readable at all times. Wild. "It is recommended that during your initial text session you remain seated to avoid injuring yourself," the Brain Pal wrote. "Please sit now." I sat. "During your initial sessions with your Brain Pal, you will find it easier to communicate by verbalizing. To aid the Brain Pal in understanding your questions, we will now teach your Brain Pal to understand your voice as it speaks. Please speak the following phonemes as you read them." In my field of vision, a list of phonemes unspooled. I read them right to left. The Brain Pal then had me speak a number of short sentences. I did. "Thank you," the Brain Pal wrote. "Your Brain Pal will now be able to take direction from the sound of your voice. Would you like to personalize your Brain Pal now?" "Yes," I said.
Many Brain Pal users find it useful to give their Brain Pal a name other than Brain Pal. Would you like to name your Brain Pal at this time?"
"Yes," I said.
"Please speak the name you would like to give your Brain Pal."
"Asshole," I said.
"You have selected asshole," the Brain Pal wrote, and to its credit, it spelled the word correctly. "Be aware that many recruits have selected this name for their Brain Pal. Would you like to choose a different name?"
"No,"
I said, and was proud that so many of my fellow recruits also felt this way about their brain pal. "Your brain pal is now Asshole," the brain pal wrote. "You may change this name in the future if you like. Now you must choose an access phrase to activate Asshole. While Asshole is active at all times, it will only respond to commands after it has been activated. Please choose a short phrase. Asshole suggests activate Asshole, but you may choose another phrase. Please say your activation phrase now." "Hey, Asshole," I said. "You have chosen Hey, Asshole. Please say it again to confirm." I did. Then it asked me to choose a deactivation phrase. I chose, of course, "Go away, Asshole." "Would you like Asshole to refer to itself in the first person?" "Absolutely," I said. "I am Asshole." "Of course you are." "I await your commands or queries." "Are you intelligent?" I asked. "I am equipped with a natural language processor and other systems to understand questions and comments and to provide answers, which often gives the appearance of intelligence, especially when connected to larger computer networks. BrainPal systems, however, are not natively intelligent. For example, this was an automated response. This question is asked frequently." "How do you understand me?" "At this stage, I am responding to your voice," Asshole wrote. "As you speak, I am monitoring your brain and learning how your brain activates when you desire to communicate with me. In time, I will be able to understand you without the need for you to speak. And in time, you may also learn to use me without consciously audible or visual cues." "What do you do?" I asked. "I have a range of abilities. Would you like to see a formatted list?"
"Please," I said.
A massive list appeared before my eyes. "To see a list of subcategories, please select a top category and say, Expand Category. To perform an action, please say, Open Category." I read down the list. Apparently, there was very little Asshole couldn't do. He could send messages to other recruits. He could download reports. He could play music or video. He could play games. He could call up any document on a system. He could store incredible amounts of data. He could perform complex calculations. He could diagnose physical ailments and provide suggestions for cures. He could create a local network among a chosen group of other BrainPal users. He could provide instantaneous translations of hundreds of human and alien languages. He could even provide field of vision information on any other BrainPal user. I turned this option on. I barely recognized myself anymore. I doubt I'd recognize any of the other old farts. Overall, Asshole was a pretty useful thing to have sitting inside one's brain. I heard an unlatching sound at my door. I looked up.
"Hey, Asshole," I said. "What time is it?"
"It is now 1200, Asshole wrote. I had spent the better part of 90 minutes fiddling with him. Well, enough of that. I was ready to see some real people.
"Go away, Asshole," I said.
"Goodbye," Asshole wrote. The text disappeared as soon as I read it. There was a knock on the door. I walked over to open it. I figured it was Harry. I wondered what he looked like. He looked like a knockout brunette with dark green olive skin and legs that went all the way up.
"You're not Harry," I said, incredibly stupidly.
The brunette looked at me and looked me up and down.
"John?"
she finally said. I stared blankly for a second, and the name hit me just before the ID floated ghost-like before my eyes.
"Jesse?"
I said. She nodded. I stared. I opened my mouth to say something. She grabbed my head and kissed me so hard that I was knocked back into my quarters. She managed to kick the door shut on our way down to the floor. I was impressed. I had forgotten just how easy it was for a young man to get an erection. Chapter 6. I had forgotten how many times a young man can get an erection, too.
"Don't take this the wrong way,"
Jesse said, lying on top of me after the third time.
But I'm really not all that attracted to you.
Thank God, I said. If you were, I'd be worn down to a nub by now.
Don't get me wrong, Jesse said. I'm fond of you, even before the...
She motioned with her hand here, trying to think of a way to describe a rejuvenating full-body transplant.
The change. You were intelligent and kind and funny. A good friend.
Uh-huh, I said. You know, Jesse, usually the let's be friends speech is to prevent sex.
I just don't want you to have illusions about what this is about.
Well, I was under the impression that it was about magically being transported into a body of a 20-year-old and being so excited about it that it was imperative to have wild sex with the very first person we saw. Jesse stared at me for a second, then burst out laughing.
Yes, that's exactly it. Although in my case it was a second person. I have a roommate, you know.
Yeah? How does Maggie clean up?
Oh, my God, Jesse said. She makes me look like a beached whale, John.
I ran my hands over her sides. Oh, that's a mighty fine beached whale, Jesse.
I know,
Jesse said, and suddenly sat up, straddling me. She raised her arms up and crossed them behind her head, perking up her already marvelously firm and full breasts. I felt her inner thighs radiating heat as they wrapped around my midsection. I knew that even though I didn't have an erection at that very moment, one was coming right up.
I mean, look at me,
she said, redundantly, because I hadn't taken my eyes off her from the moment she sat up.
I look fabulous. I don't say that to be vain. It's just I never looked this good in real life, not even close.
I find that hard to believe, I said. She grabbed her breasts and pointed the nipples at my face.
See these?
She said, and wiggled the left one.
In real life, this one was a cup size smaller than this one, and it was still too large. I had a permanent backache from puberty onward, and I think they were this firm for 1 week when I was 13. Maybe.
She reached down, grabbed my hands, and placed them on her perfect flat belly.
I never had one of these, either, she said. I always carried a little pouch down here, even before I had babies. After 2 kids? Well, let's just say that if I had ever wanted a third, it would have had a duplex in there.
I slid my hands behind her and grabbed her ass. What about this? I said.
Wide load.
Jesse said, and laughed.
I was a big girl, my friend.
Well, being big's not a crime, I said. Kathy was on the larger side. I liked it just fine.
I didn't have a problem with it at the time, she said. Body issues are foolish. On the other hand, I wouldn't trade now.
She ran her hands over her body provocatively.
I'm all sexy.
And with that, she did a little giggle and a head flip. I laughed. Jesse leaned forward and peered into my face.
I'm finding this cat's eye thing incredibly fascinating, she said. I wonder if they actually used cat DNA to make them. You know, spliced cat DNA with ours. I wouldn't mind being part cat.
I don't think it's really cat DNA, I said. We're not exhibiting other cat-like attributes. Jesse sat back up.
Like what?
She said. Well, I said, and let my hands wander up to her breasts. For one thing, male cats have barbs on their penis.
Get out,
Jesse said. No, it's true, I said. It's the barbs that stimulate the female to ovulate. Look it up. Anyway, no barbs down there. I think you'd have noticed if there were.
That doesn't prove anything, Jesse said,
and suddenly sent her back part back and her forward part forward to lay directly on top of me. She grinned salaciously.
It could be that we just haven't been doing it hard enough to make them pop out.
I'm sensing a challenge, I said.
I'm sensing something, too, she said, and wiggled.
What are you thinking about?
Jesse asked me later.
I'm thinking about Kathy, I said, and how often we'd lie around like we're doing now.
You mean on the carpet?
Jesse said, smiling. I bopped her gently on the head.
Not that part. Just lying around after sex, talking and enjoying each other's company. We were doing this the first time we talked about enlisting.
Why did you bring it up?
Jesse said.
I didn't, I said. Kathy did. It was on my 60th birthday, and I was depressed about getting older, so she suggested that we sign up when the time came. I was a little surprised. We'd always been anti-military. We protested the Subcontinental War, you know, when it wasn't exactly popular to do that.
Lots of people protested that war, Jesse said.
Yeah, but we really protested. Became a little bit of a joke about it in town, actually.
So how did she rationalize signing up with the Colonial Army?
She said she wasn't against war or the military in a general sense, just that war and our military. She said that people have the right to defend themselves and that it was probably a nasty universe out there. And she said that beyond those noble reasons, we'd be young again to boot.
But you wouldn't be able to enlist together, Jesse said, unless you were the same age.
She was a year younger than me, I said. And I did mention that to her. I said that if I joined the army, I'd be officially dead. We wouldn't be married anymore, and who knows if we'd ever see each other again.
What did she say?
She said these were technicalities. She'd find me again and drag me to the altar like she had before. And she would have, you know. She could be a bear about these things.
Jessie propped herself up on her elbow and looked at me.
I'm sorry she's not here with you, John.
I smiled.
That's all right, I said. I just miss my wife from time to time, that's all.
I understand,
Jesse said.
I miss my husband, too.
I glanced over to her.
I thought he left you for a younger woman and then got food poisoning.
He did, and he did, and he deserved to vomit his guts out,
Jesse said.
I don't miss the man, really, but I miss having a husband. It's nice to have someone you know you're supposed to be with. It's nice to be married.
It's nice to be married. I agreed.
Jesse snuggled up to me and draped an arm over my chest.
Of course this is nice, too. It's been a while since I've done this.
Lie on a floor?
It was her turn to bop me.
No. Well, yes, actually. But more specifically, lie around after sex. Or have sex, for that matter. You don't want to know how long it's been since I've had it.
Sure I do.
Bastard. 8 years.
No wonder you jumped me the minute you saw me, I said.
You got that right,
Jesse said.
You happen to be very conveniently located.
Location is everything. That's what my mother always told me.
You had a strange mother,
Jesse said.
Yo, bitch, what time is it?
What? I said.
I'm talking to the voice in my head, she said.
Nice name you have for it, I said.
What did you name yours?
Asshole. Jesse nodded.
Sounds about right. Well, the bitch tells me it's just after 1600. We have 2 hours until dinner. You know what that means?
I don't know. I think 4 times is my limit, even when I'm young and super improved.
Calm yourself. It means we have just enough time for a nap.
Should I grab a blanket?
Don't be silly. Just because I had sex on the carpet doesn't mean I want to sleep on it. You've got an extra bunk. I'm going to use it.
So I'm going to have to nap alone?
I'll make it up to you,
Jesse said.
Remind me when I wake up.
I did. She did.
God damn it,
Thomas said as he sat down at the table, carrying a tray so piled with food that it was a miracle he could even lift it. "Aren't we all just too good-looking for words?" He was right. The old farts had cleaned up amazingly well. Thomas and Harry and Alan could all have been male models. Of the four of us, I was definitely the ugly duckling, and I looked, well, I looked good. As for the women, Jessie was stunning. Susan was even more so, and Maggie frankly looked like a goddess. It actually hurt to look at her. It hurt to look at all of us. In that good, dizzying sort of way. We all spent a few minutes just staring at each other. And it wasn't just us. As I scanned through the room, I couldn't find a single ugly human in it. It was pleasingly disturbing.